are live with a very highly requested episode here. I believe it's pronounced Project Borny?
Project Borny.
It's Borny.
Borny.
Borny. Yeah, it's... it's my wife came up with the names because, you know, you do burnouts.
Oh,
yeah.
And in Sweden, we call it doing a burny. Or a burnies. Burnies is the correct word for it. And then it, since I wanted to skid around in the car, and then it went Project Burny. So that's the story about it.
And there we go, right into it, man. We get a Swedish lesson. We get the background of the name. For those that are just listening, Marcus is here all the way from Sweden, our first Swede on the show. So thank you for being on, man. If you haven't seen this car on Instagram, I like to plug it at the beginning so people can look and not click out before. Project Borny, but you know, for us Americans, it's spelled Borny, B-O-R-N-I.
I know, I had to spell it like that on Instagram too, so.
I understand, no worries. But for those that are living under a rock, you need to download Instagram, mm-hmm. if you haven't already. You need to make an account and then immediately type in Project Borny or Borny. And check out this insane build. I don't even know where to begin. Marcus, you're an animal, man. This is crazy. It's so ominous.
Is that the Worcestershire right sauce? Ominous.
Worcestershire.
Yes.
What's the proper word for like menacing in Swedish?
Yeah. It is.
All right, whatever that is.
Or maybe I. No, it's a big project.
It's a huge project.
It's a beast.
Yeah. It's a project that has derailed so many times that I can't even count.
Oh, man, I don't even know where to start. But so anyways, guys, go look at this while we're talking if you're not watching, because this thing is crazy. I'm sure we'll kind of get into all of the ins and outs of it, hopefully. But yeah, I mean, Marcus, I appreciate you being on. And
I was happy when you asked me, so.
I love it, man. I follow all these accounts for so long, and you know, we get caught up in scheduling and things like that, and then I'm like, dude, I haven't asked Project Borny yet, so let's get this bad boy on.
He only broke the internet, you know, Mike. We've got to get him on, surely.
No one wants to hear me and Sean jibber jabber on our chinwag episodes. We want to hear about Project Borny. I want to start. I don't know where to start. I'll start with, you know, have you always been into minis? And then we'll kind of get into how this mini evolved to what it is. Like, have you been into cars or minis? Is this like your first huge project? I would assume not. But tell us.
Well, I've not been into minis so much, my mother and father-in-law had a mini when me and my wife was younger, and we ran around in that one quite often. And so I have always had a quite warm feelings about the minis, but this is the first mini I ever own. But I have always been into cars, and I built, when you're young, you always say that you build things. But I raped a BMW with a turbo when I was in the 20s, and it looked like hell, but it went okay. And then I went over and I built some bikes, and I have refurbished, is that the word?
Sure.
Volkswagen Caddy, the first generation. But I have always been into cars and I love driving cars, and that's where this comes from, because I stopped riding motorcycles and I bought the Mazda MX-5, and that is one hell of a ride. It's a fun little car, that too, but I crashed that one, and my wife bought an MX-5, and I wanted to have something to build. So the plan was actually to build an MX-5 with a V6 in it, just to have them bash around with. But then I started to look around, and this is quite funny because I quite often hear that this is the Swedish version of Binky.
It kind of looks like it's Rocker's version.
Yeah, and sometimes I like it, and sometimes I don't like it, because it is a four-wheel drive Mini, and that's it. There's the resemblance. The resemblance stops there, I think, in my mind. Often the people who says that it's the Swedish version of Binky, they aren't into Minis. They think that Binky is the only real Mini project there is, and I try to say that no, there is loads.
But
I found Binky, and I binged the Binky, and I have binged it 3 or 4 times, and that was when I thought that, well, the Mini, the workshop is quite small, so a Mini fits. It sits pretty good in here compared to any other big car. So, and the plan from the beginning, the plan was to build a mid-engine car, and with the Alfa Romeo Duso V6. That was the original plan. But then, as we said, my mother and father-in-law, I thought that maybe they could go in the back. So I needed a back seat. So, and that time I decided, okay, no mid-engine car. And in that also was a pretty good thing, because in Sweden we can register it for the road if we go through some engineering and stuff. But you have two categories, and one is what we call in Sweden is ombyggt fordon. In that case, you preserve the identity on the car. You preserve the papers on the car, just that it's in. They just say that this car has this and that. And if you do it like an amateur build, then it would be a new model of a car. Yeah. And if I would have gone with the V6 in the rear, I would have lost the original identity of the car, and I didn't want that, because it might not look like it, but I am a purist.
You could have fooled me, Marcus.
Real pure. Real pure.
I'm a purist in the little details, in the way that the rear trailing arms have the same length as the original trailing arms. The pickup points for the trailing arms are the same. The only thing I have done to the rear subframe, it's new, but the thing I have done is that I have made them so they have a camber gain, and so it will perform a bit better. And
right.
It's the same thing with the front subframe. the uprights are from a lotus, but everything is jigged and built around the original mini parts, just a bit beefier, because I still want it to perform like mini.
Right.
And my goal has, okay, so on the outside, you don't need to be a purist to see that it's modified, but on the inside, the plan have always been to, you have to think, you should have to think twice if it's been done something to it. So if you, when I made the new exhaust tunnel for the prop, to fit the prop shaft and the bigger exhaust, I made it the same shape as the original mini one and just a bit bigger. So you have to look twice to see that the exhaust tunnel is actually bigger and the firewall is flat, just like the original mini, just it's a bit further in and a bit beefier. So there is the purist in me. I just don't want to go all crazy.
I see where you're going with this. I see where you're going with it. Now I will allow that to be called purist.
It's a cool ethos to have.
Yeah, it is.
It's the engine in this. Many people ask. It's a 3.2 liter from a Golf R32. If I would go with a stock ECU, it's 250 brake horsepower. Probably gonna get like 270 to 80, because yes, you can go turbo and you can go turbo K24 or 450 brake horsepower, but it would be undrivable. I have a Seat Leon Cupra, a 2 liter turbo with 290 brake horsepower, and that car weighs 1400 kilo. And it scares me. So I think that if I have 250 in this one, I will get scared. So
terrifying drive.
Yeah.
I say this all the time, man. My 1275 scares me sometimes, so I cannot imagine what something like this will feel like. I cannot fathom. Although mine's not beefed up like yours, so I would imagine that the wider stance, the beefier tires, the you know, upgraded beefier suspension will keep it planted. But
I really hope so. And that was something like that engine. Unfortunately, I can say that engine did something to the purist in me. Because before I had this, I had another VR6 engine, and the engine code on that one is AAA. So I could still say that I had an A-series engine when that was in.
Jokes. Yeah, jokes.
But that engine had to be turbocharged, and now there was too many problems with that. So, this isn't even the first engine that was planned to go in, because when I decided that, okay, I need to have a rear seat, so the rear cross bracing in the cage is detachable. You can take it out just so that you can
fit people.
So you can fit people back there. And at that time, the plan was to go front wheel drive and a little 1.6 liter engine from the Volkswagen Polo that would have been tuned to bits. And so that was the original plan. But then someone asked if I wanted to buy an all-wheel drive drivetrain.
And then the purist in you kicked in, and you said, "Yeah, sure.
All minis should have a 4-wheel drive." Oh yeah, well, no, I'm not that hard of a purist, but I'm up there where I can say that I don't think a new Mini is a Mini. The BMW Mini isn't a Mini,
right?
That so much as a purist am I. Yeah.
Wow. So let's backtrack a little bit here. That,
you know,
you wanted to build a car. How long has this kind of been in your thoughts, or how long have you actually been building this? I know I've followed you for quite a while now, but was it something that though you were like, correct me if I'm wrong, you kind of had like, oh, I want to build something, the MX-5 or this, that, but needed a back seat. And then once you landed on the Mini, like, what was the timeline? Did this just start escalating as you went along, or did you like, no, I want to build a wide body Mini?
It has escalated. It has escalated.
The old rabbit hole. The rabbit hole gets it.
Oh, yes. No, it has escalated as hell. Because I bought it in 2017. So I've been at it while those who follow very hard on Instagram knows, we don't have to go into that, but they know why I haven't been building for between 2021 and 22. But the plan was 13 inch wheels, JBVs, just stock Mini lights, 13 by 7, and the regular size. And I bought Group 5 arches from ABS Motorsport, fitted perfectly, no problem there. And I borrowed wheels from a friend, and had that when fitting things and so on. And then there was Black Week on a company here in Sweden who sells R tires. And they had a very good price on Mankang R ones. And they are in the dimension 225, 45, 13. So they wouldn't really. So I had to buy them.
had to.
Very good price. I had to buy them.
You're saving money.
Yeah. You always have to save money. And the problem is that, okay, they're too big for the 7 inches. So now I have to have something else. So I had a look and found the Mocomp CXRs, they're called, 13 by 8 and zero offset. They look brilliant on the car, but they were a bit wide. And when I got the tires, and when I got them home, I put on the Group 5 arches and put the tires in the wheel wells, and oh no! Tires are hitting the subframe. Okay, so we need to widen this. And then I decided I needed to widen it. But it took, I think it took one or two years before I decided how to do it. And the first idea was to just widen the Group 5 arches, because when I built, when I saw that the wheels was so too wide for the body, I built a little bit longer A-arms. No, not A-arms, but upper and lower control arms. They had to be a bit longer. And then that was the time when I started to look at doing metal arches. Because this whole build is actually me thinking that if someone else can do it, why can't I? That's actually the one big red thread that goes through the whole build is that if someone else can do it, then why can't I?
I love that.
So I started to look at doing metal arches and wasn't really good at it, but you always have to try. So I made them and the car looked really good. But the problem was when it had it set so high to the ground with those arches on, because many people, when they put on arches, the most common way is to just put the arches where the wheels are, and you get the arches very low down.
Right.
And in my opinion, the car looks so high. It looks like it's on stilts when you do it like that. So with these arches that I have built now, I put the car on the right ride height and try to get the arches as high up on the fenders as I can, because what I found out when I was looking at a little bit more aggressive cars like Audis and BMWs and whatnot, you can see that when the top of the arch on top of the wheel well sits almost in center of the front headlight, then you get a very aggressive stance. If you get it under, you lose a little bit of that aggression.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get it as high up as I can, because what I did with the old arches was that they were built very far down. So when the car was with this much clearance in the wheel wells, then the car, it was so high up over the ground, and it looked like it would fall over. So, but now it don't look like it would fall over.
No, it doesn't look like you could budge that thing.
Yeah. So Marcus, are you on the high lows, or are you on coilover conversion for it?
Yeah, we can take that one too. The plan was to go with the coilover conversion, but I tend to get in this when I overthink things a bit too much, and then it starts to derail from there. And the plan was to just go. I was looking at Mini Sports and their Spux coilover conversions. I thought, oh, great, perfect. And then I got a little bit itchy because I didn't like the rear coilover conversion where you had a bit of offset up on the top mount. And then I started, and I really didn't like that the coilovers kind of, they do like this. If you do the straightforward coilover conversion, the coilover goes like this. And yeah, optimal is if you go like this, and you can't achieve that. So, and when I realized that, I also started to look at, I had started to look at a little better brand of coilovers. I kind of over-search things too much, a bit. So I didn't get good reviews on the Spux really, and so I started and So I started to look elsewhere, and then I found the ProTech. So right now it's ProTech coilovers on it, because someone told me that, okay, they're really good and they're competitive as hell. So, but it's not the regular coilover conversion.
Right.
Because one problem that I had was, you know, the angle.
Positive thing. And negative camber, yeah.
No, the angle on how you mount the shocks. Just buying the regular coilover kit from ProTech would have given me the same, yeah.
Right.
Shocks same, pointing yeah. outwards. So I really don't think that when I came up with this solution that I have, no, I haven't found the ProTech yet. I just had a motorcycle shock in the workshop. I started to put it here and put it there, and then I laid it down, and yeah, it will fit here. So that's why I have a push rod suspension.
Ah, that makes sense now.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you guys can see.
They're here.
Yep, I see it now. Yep.
Incredible.
That's yeah, insane.
I was looking at that before we jumped on the call today, and I was like, dang, that's so... I don't even know how that works. Like, how did you come up with the geometry to set that up? Like, did you...
You can calculate and such, but I'm not great at math. And I don't really understand all the geometry math and such. So I'm more of a practical person. So I draw it up in CAD, and I just winged it. First I winged it, and I knew that, okay, I need the shock has this much travel, and how much do I want the wheel to move up and down? And so, because that's the thing with this kind of suspension, you can have the wheel move, like the wheel have a motion from zero, it goes 60 mil up and 60 mil down, but the shock doesn't travel that much because you have a gearing in the little thing that moves up and down.
I gotcha. The cylinder or whatever, the shock body.
No,
the piston.
You have the lower control arm, and then I have a push rod. It's called. You have it on valves as well. On a valve in the head, you have them pushing on the head. Rockers.
Oh, the rockers. Okay.
Yeah, because you have the lower control arm. And to the lower control arm, there's a push rod that is attached to a rocker. And the rocker is the one that pushes on the coilover.
So
the ratio on the rocker arm is that decides how much wheel movement you have versus shock movement.
Okay.
So I just sat down and thought that, okay, so I want this much wheel movement and I have this much shock movement. And then it was trial and error. I sat for days and just changed points and the measurements and until I was satisfied. And then I just drew it up, made proper drawings and angle grinder and cut and welded and... So you don't need to be an engineer. You just need to sit down and think.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a great point though, because I like what you said. You know, why if someone else can do it, why can't I? And I've seen that a lot through projects like this. You know, it's just somebody learned CAD, somebody learned how to do their own suspension or whatever it is, it's possible. If you just
everything is possible because when I started the project, I didn't own a lathe. My welder was not really good. I had a mag welder only. I didn't have the TIG. Many of the tools I have now and that I have collected through the years, I didn't have, and many that. But that's also a problem with buying tools. Things derail again because when I built the first version of the subframe, of the rear, it was the rear subframe, I think. Then it was pretty old school with mounts and such. And then I bought the lathe. And then I figured, okay, now I can make my own bushings. Now I don't have... now I can make more stuff. And so I truly believe that everyone can do anything. Anyone can build a car like this because I'm no good at it, actually. I'm good at taking photos.
It looks good from far, but far from good.
Actually, that's quite true. That's why it's version 2 on the subframe right now, because I did build a subframe for it. And I was this close to go to the first instance of the engineering for it, and I was going to look up the bump steer because I had just winged it and the bump steer was crap.
Ooh.
So then I had to start over.
Yeah. That was one of my questions, was like, did you do all of this work yourself? Or did you have to call in help from anyone else? Or you basically just said, hey, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to go buy the new tool to do it, or whatever it is.
No, I have done it. Yeah, I have done it myself. I have. I'm a member of an online forum with a lot of car builders on it.
Mm.
That has helped a lot. But in essence, it's me who have done all the work and all the thinking and late nights. And it's my brainchild.
Yeah, for sure. It's amazing. I mean, so what's the vision? What kind of like started bringing you down this path? Like you just said, it's just kind of as you go, you're like, okay, this is going to look cool. Like you said, you had the arches, you bought the tires were too big. So you had to make arches. That's just basically how the whole thing has kind of gone.
Yeah. One keyword is it's cool. In Sweden we can say it's fränt, something is fränt, and that's the same thing as it's cool. And in my world, if it's cool, then it should be on there, and that has driven the whole project, because anyone who is on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube, we're attention whores. We're attention horse. You're not building a car like this, or actually any car, for just yourself. You build it to show it off, and then it has to be fränt. It has to be cool.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, like, I build it because I enjoy it. Well. So it starts off, right, like I'm building it because I think it's cool, but because I think it's cool, I'm going to show it off. So it's got to be cool.
Yeah. That's also a fair point, because you have to build it for yourself. You can't build it for someone else, because if you're building it for someone else, I have lost the motivation so many times. This car has been for sale for so many times because I lose myself in it. I lose track, and sometimes it's just okay, and now I need to make this, and okay, so I make this for so it looks good on Instagram. And I had a YouTube channel, and I think I got up to, okay, not that much, but 3,000 subscribers that was in my garage and visiting. And I think that's pretty cool. But that took away so much from the fun in building, because I'm a sucker for for German Alp music and Schlager music. And I like to have that thumping in the background. But when I did the YouTube things, okay, no music here.
Yeah, you can't do it.
No, and if I wanted to listen to music, then I didn't get any shots with any grinding noise or anything. So then I just had to have the music constantly on the videos. And that got to a point where I just went, I could think for a week what I should build on the car based on how I should film it. And when I got to that point, then I said, just nope. So I took the channel down, I took every video down, and now it's fun again.
I give mad respect to those people that do builds on YouTube, because
it takes time. It takes so much more time to build and film everything that you do than just like I do now. I just, okay, I like that part I made just now, so I take a few photos and I put it out on the reel. That don't take much time, but making good videos, that takes time.
It does, yeah. I always think like, hey, I'm gonna go in the garage, I'm doing my engine build, I'm gonna get in the car, but since I gotta set up the shot, I can't play the music, and it's difficult. I get that. It kind of derails you fun of making something or building your car.
Yeah, and I need this because I need this car to be done sometime.
Sooner or later.
Yeah, sooner or later. It may take some time, but every time when I try to sell it, I always come to the conclusion, okay, but no one that is showing interest in the car has the same vision that I do.
Yeah.
And so the car will never be like this if I sell it on.
You gotta see it through.
I have decided now that I really gotta see it through, and even if it takes a few years more than I, because it's so much thought put into it.
I know this is like maybe a hard question, but looking at it, it looks like it's a roller, the engine's in, obviously there's a lot to go, but what else is really needed to get it fired and driving? Like how much more nitty gritty that has to be gone into it? I know fully completed, however your vision is, but what about driving? How far are we from that?
Actually, we're not that far from driving. You can say I am missing a few struts in the front subframe. Other than that, the front subframe is done. I need to sort an issue with the oil pan. And I haven't decided yet if that is going to derail the project or not, because it's a bit low. And I want the car to be low, but the oil pan is lower.
You get a shallow sump for it then.
Yeah, shallow sump or dry sump.
I was just going to say dry sump system.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
The, Yeah, but the problem is, as you know, and it has been said before, that you can stand there with the part and it looks good in your hands and it looks good in your head when you're thinking about putting it in a mini. And as soon as you put it in the mini, it's huge. So you need to put on out the feeler gauge to... it's like the... I recently put on the Ajax system on it. And they're not big. They're like this big. But on the mini, they're huge.
I literally sent Mike a message, 2 days ago, saying, dude, you've got to check it out. He's even got air jacks on this thing. And I was sitting there thinking, like, how on earth has he made that fit? That system must be huge in the car.
Yeah, it is. The two fronts, the air jack, they sit outside the car.
Oh.
So I made this... behind the A panel, the subframe is pretty straight. No, the firewall is pretty straight, and you have your foot there. What I did is I cut out, it's 150 mil wide. I just cut it out and made a round shape panel that goes inside the car. And so just to fit them.
Smart.
Surely
then your feet are very, very close to that firewall then when you're actually on the accelerator pedals then, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. No, it's on the clutch in Sweden. We sit on the right side.
Oh, of course you do. Sorry, yeah. It's just us over here in the UK.
Yeah. You're
on the wrong side.
wrong side. The clutch is pretty close to the firewall. It is. So, but that. Where were we? Yeah, that.
You know what you should do then to save a little space is just move everything to the center, and you're just center, and you got all the room of the world, right?
Mike, stop going down rabbit holes for Marcus.
It's like what was it, the McLaren?
The F1.
The F1,
yeah, the
right?
F1, yes.
Exactly like the F1, right? You're in the middle, you got the two passengers in the back. It's literally the mini F1.
Yeah, it would be cool. But, I have to finish things on it.
Yeah.
And actually, it's not that far from being drivable. It's actually missing. It's missing the fuel system. It's missing headers, intake, and some wiring.
Yeah, not far off.
No, so
closer than mine.
Yeah, so I am working on the wiring in the background. So the rear chassis loom is finished. It's in a box. It's just waiting for installment. And the ECU harness is almost done. And I have ECU and I have the PDM on the shelf. So I have very much things to it. I just need to finish all the small bits and pieces.
Yeah, it's like, what is it? The last 10% of the project takes, 90% of the time or whatever.
Yeah, I would like to see 3 years maybe.
So, but when you're done with it though, what's the plan? Are you trying to track it? You just want to daily drive it? All of the above?
All of the above. And the plan, the plan is to go to meets, go out, having an ice cream in it, just roll around and being a menace.
Oh,
but it's also built to be a track day car.
Yeah.
The cage is built for time attack specs here in Sweden. And I am building it so that I can log suspension travel and movement, and I have it will have traction control and the ABD, the four-wheel drive system on it is fully controllable. And so it, I'm building it to, I think that 90% I would just have it as a daily drive. But those 10%, it's going to go fast on the track. No doubt.
Man.
That's the point. That's the whole, the pure essence of it. It should go fast around the track. That's why I went to Pilotec and have their shocks. And and probably that is why it has taken so long as well, because I learned things on the way. It's such a journey for me, because I wasn't a good welder. I'm not a good welder now either, but when I started, I was really bad at welding. And so that is something that takes time for me now as well, because I'm redoing things that I did 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that is the problem, because sometimes you have to just stop and think that, okay, if I'm going to redo things that I have done because I have learned new skills, then I will never be done. Then I will just keep on redoing things. And that is the problem.
Yeah, I feel that. I mean, there's definitely things on my car, not to the extent of yours, but that I cut my teeth on my car. You know, I learned how to weld. Well, like you said, I'm not the best welder, but I've learned how to put two pieces of metal together on my car. I learned everything on my car pretty much. So there's definitely things that I would love to go back and fix, but I also want to drive it. So it's like, you know, where's the time?
No, I see that, because you come to a certain point when you just have to, okay, this is what it is. And this is, I know the floor on the Mini is very wobbly because I have put way too much heat in it when I welded, but it's the original flooring, so that's good.
That's the purest in you. What is original on that car? Like, are most of those body panels original? Like the doors and the wings and everything?
Yep. Wow. Front wings and front panel is Magnum panels. Everything else is original panels.
I don't think you mentioned it. Correct me if I'm wrong, though. But what year and make and was this Mini? What kind of Mini was it before it is what it is today?
It was in 1970s. It's from 70.
Okay.
So it's an MK3, I think.
Yeah.
Half of the bonnet is original.
Because you had to extend it, right?
Yeah, I extended the car 50 millimeters. because the plan, I didn't want to extend it because I wanted to, you know, it's a round nose, and nobody should say that I fitted this engine because I have extended it. But it came to a point when I just, either I extend the car as little as I can and actually be able to fit both the exhaust and intake, or I have to choose no exhaust and intake, or no intake and just an exhaust. So I just had to extend it. And but I don't like... I really don't like extended minis because often it's not done right, you say, or it done, it's there too... I know the Clubman is, what is it, 110 mil longer than Round Nose, I think.
I think it's something like that, yeah.
Yeah, but a Round Nose that is 110 mil extended doesn't look good. It's something that's odd, and I think that I can get away with my 50 mil extension because of the wheels and the arches. The wheels and arches makes it look proportional. Mm-hmm. If I would have gone with it. What?
Distracts your eyes, really, doesn't it, from the actual extension? Because looking at it from here, on your background, it's definitely the front wheels and that massive front arch really does deviate your eyes away from that extension.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And that is one common question, too. How big are the wheels? And... they are 14s.
Oh.
Damn.
They don't look that big.
No, they don't.
No, I know.
Tire on there, yeah.
Yeah, I know. And that has also been the plan because I know... Yeah, I want to have good brakes on it. You know, we need to be able to stop this thing. And so it's 280 millimeter discs from Volkswagen Corrado that this Volkswagen has donated many parts to this car. So it's 280 mil with the Wilwood calipers that are often used on minis. But then I couldn't have 13-inch wheels, or I could have 13-inch wheels, but I would have to go with the split rims. And they are terrible. They are expensive. So I was looking at the Force racing wheels and Image wheels, but
Image wheels are crazy money.
Yeah, that was just crazy money. So I went with I fell in love with these wheels because they do look a bit like the Aris Watanabes, but they're Japan racing. They're called.
I thought they were Watts.
No,
yeah, I thought they were Watts as well. You could have fooled me.
Oh, they're just the replica wheels, but they're really good, the replica wheels. So they are light, and they made it so that I was able to fit the big brakes.
Right.
But when fitting such 14-inch is too big on a mini. If you don't go with the, you have to play with the. I have had to play with the fenders, and the arches to fool the eye, and it's as I said, you don't see it directly that it's 14 inches, and then I have won. Then I did my part. To hide the fact that they are bigger than 13s. And
done a damn good job. It fooled me. I would have just guessed they were 13s. Honestly, they don't even look like 13s. I think it's because of the meat and the proportion of the car. Everything looks nice and tidy. And that's why I don't necessarily like 13s on a mini, because just sometimes they just look a little too big. The proportions just don't look quite right.
Yeah,
you got to really nail it with either flares or fat tires or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm with you. I totally agree with you that you have to when you go bigger than actually go bigger than 10s, you have to start fool the eye. Because I'm not that old, but when I was younger, 17 was big on BMW.
Yeah,
I had in 2002, I had 18 inch on my BMW, and that was huge. Now 18
spinners.
No spinners. But 18 nowadays 18 on a BMW isn't big. If you're not going the retro style, many people go retro style and trying to go with the smaller wheels. And if you're going with the too big wheel, then you have to start to fool the eye. Mm-hmm. And that is also something that takes a lot of my time. I take a lot of photos, and I can just sit down and scroll them and see, does it look right or does it not look right? Yeah, and if I'm not happy, then no one else is happy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, man. It's got to look right. And man, you've done a great job. Kudos to you. We've all loved watching, you know, the progress on this, and I can't wait to see what else you have in store for this project.
Yeah, I don't think I understand how many people actually knows about this car. I know that I have quite a few followers on Instagram, but I don't appreciate the build as much as many of you do. Always, but I love the car. It's my little It's my little friend.
I understand that too. Sometimes I look up and I'm like, man, there's a lot of people following this, my car, and they kind of grow attached to it too. And then I have that same feeling, and I'm just like, man, I'm gonna sell this. I'm gonna set it on fire. You know, something goes wrong. You know, when you said it's been for sale so many times, I'm like, yeah, I don't know how many times I've walked in like to my wife, like, babe, I'm selling the car. Like,
but then you also know the feeling that when someone comes and shows interest in the car, and they lowball you, because they always do. No one wants to pay it. The amount of money that you want for the car, yeah. And then you just fuck it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm keeping it.
I mean, I don't know about you, but like people at, you haven't been to the gas station or petrol station. I don't know what you guys call it in Sweden, but here, you know, I'll pull up and they're like, oh, someone just wants to buy it. They're like, I'll pay cash for that. They're like, dude, you don't even know what this is worth, and that I'll throw out like $20,000. You know, I think that's a higher range for my car for sure. But yeah, in the US, a lot of minis go for $15,000 to $20,000.
Yeah.
And they're just like, what, are you kidding me? No way. Like, I'll give you $3,000. I'm like, get out of here. Like,
yeah.
It's like, come on.
I understand. Yeah. The last time it was for sale was this summer, and I had two old gentlemen came to the workshop, and one of them was really interested in it, and I showed them everything, and it's so much to show, so I think they were here for an hour or something, and one of them was very interested, but the other guy, he was constantly on, just, you shouldn't sell it. It's so much you.
Yeah.
You have put so much thought into this. And
yeah,
after they were here, that was when I decided that, no, I'm not selling it. Never.
Yeah.
Because it is so much thought, and it is so much, I can do this. If they can do it, I can do it. And maybe I could do it a little bit better. Because I sometimes get some hubris, and very often I get some hubris and say that I can do this better, and that is this car.
That's why
I haven't bought the subframe. That's why the subframe is made from the ground up. just it's 100% my idea
built, not bought.
That is 100% built, not bought, because I do see how Minisport and those subframes and those kits are built, and in my world they must have stability issues, so I want more bracing in my subframe, and that's why I have decided, yeah, I'm building this my own. I'm building my own subframe.
I love it. Man. I love it. Well, Marcus, before we get this thing wrapped up, do you want to hit a few Paddy Pro questions?
Yeah, why not? See if I'm purist enough.
Let's see here. I'm just going to start with this one, since you weren't quite like a mini guy growing up, but like, what is your favorite mini variant besides the round nose here?
The van.
Oh. Maybe
I love the van.
Project Bernie 2.0.
Oh, can you imagine a van with the trailer with that on the back?
I have had the idea. I have had the thought. There is a constant thought process of new projects to come. And I have had an idea of building a Porsche 356 replica. Oof. But then I have also had the idea, I don't know who makes them, but there is a fiberglass shell of the pickup. No, not of the van. And I have had the idea of building a full space frame chassis with longitudinal engine, still four-wheel drive, but with a van. I need to finish project.
That would be real cool to get a fiberglass shell and just start from the ground up like that and just make that would be super cool.
Yeah, but I have to build this, finish this first, because otherwise it will just be like when I
bought this. Yeah, it won't get done. You'll just have two crazy ass projects just sitting.
and the wife that's mad. It's like when I bought this one, I came home, it looked like shit. It was very rusty, and I came home, I backed it into the garage, went into the house, and come have a look. She came out in the garage, looked at the Mini, didn't say a word, and then she went in again. I mean, she went into the house.
What does she think of it now? She's just like, what have you done?
No, I think she think it's me. She always supports me in this.
Yeah.
And she supports me if I want to sell it, and she supports me if I want to keep it.
Good.
But in essence, she I think it was last summer, not this summer, but the summer before, then I had it for sale. And we was on a British car meet, and we went around there, and there was a lot of Minis there. And it was she who said that, think about it. Next year, how cool would it be if you were here with Bernie? So, she is a big support.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. But the van is the favorite.
There we go. I like that. Good answer. This one might be difficult for you, but do you have like a favorite mini modification that you've done? I know that you probably don't have any standard mini modifications, but what's something that you've done to this that's probably one of your favorite kind of features of the car?
The suspension.
Yeah.
Yes.
The suspension is my all-time favorite, because
it looks cool, and hopefully it performs like you want it to.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. That's the the single most thing that I'm happy with. It's the suspension.
Let's see. What has been the most pain in the ass job on this Mini?
Fitting the engine.
I can imagine. Shoehorn that thing in.
More fitting the engine with... And at the same time have these rules set up. Because I have always said, and it will always be, there will never, ever be a flip front on this car to make life easy. And
you're just like that, a masochist.
Yep. And that has been the biggest challenge, the biggest pain in the ass has been fitting the engine and still staying true to these rules. And since I'm a true masochist, I need to have inner wings.
Wow. Well, talk about making life difficult.
Yeah, actually, now they're just inner wing on the right side, because when I remade the subframe, the left wing, inner wing, was made to fit the old subframe. So I had to, cut it away, and I will make a new one. But you will open the bonnet with the hood, and you look down, and there are inner wings, and there is no flip front, and
it's practically stock.
Yeah, practically stock.
I love though that it's not, you know, it's so radical and crazy, but you know, you joke about being pierced, but that is something kind of like the pierced in you, right? Like you're as close to, I don't know if stock's the right word, but. You know what I mean? I like that.
Yeah.
Essence of a Mini, yeah.
Yeah. I'm purist in the way that I want the essence to be a Mini. And I will lose so many followers now, but I don't like rear-engined Minis.
Oh.
Sorry, guys.
I don't know if you'll lose that many followers. Are there that many people out there?
sorry, but no, I appreciate them. I can appreciate a rear engine Mini, but I like the engine to be in the front. I like to have the rear seat, and I like to have, I have the original rear seat in it with another upholstery, but I'm keeping the what's the compartment boxes in the rear.
The side bins, yeah.
Yeah, the side bins. I'm keeping them because they are purist to me. And also the air jacks fits very well inside them. So I have air jacks in my side pockets.
I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, we'll round it out with the last one here. If you could have a drink, coffee, beer, tea with one Mini celeb, who would it be?
Are we talking celebs like in the past world, or Mini celebs nowadays also?
Okay. Dead, alive, Instagram influencer, YouTuber, anybody.
I would actually like to sit down and have a drink with Nick and Rick at Bad Obsession.
Yeah,
I really hope they are a very big inspiration for me. They have been throughout the whole build, and you know there is a bit of a challenge out there with them, because I won the bracket award. 2022, or is it? No, 2021. They awarded me with the Bracket Award.
Wow,
that's cool.
On the it was the international car show. It was with the COVID and everything. The Boss Garage had this online show, and Bad Obsession, they had the Bracket Award, and I won it. And they said that when their Mini is done and this is done, we should meet somewhere in between and have a race.
And ooh.
So I really, so I really hope to take that beer with them at that challenge.
That would be super cool.
Yeah.
I fully support that.
Yeah. So I really hope that that challenge can happen. Nick and Rick from, I think it's Richard. Yeah. Because I don't know how many times I have said this on this car, but you know, I'm good at welding, but I'm not that good. And very much many times I had said, okay, it's not really Nick standard, but it works. That's the Mini Celebs I would choose.
Man, that's awesome. Well, Marcus, man, I appreciate you being on here. Is there anything that you want the people to know? Go follow Project Bernie on Instagram. YouTube, I guess, but
no more YouTube. I post occasionally on Facebook, but Instagram is where I'm at. You find me at Project Bernie.
Awesome. Love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I will catch you guys on the next one.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah. Cheers.